Welcome to Calming Harp, the sounds of David's Psalms. I'm glad you've joined us for this brief moment we share together. I will be playing some of the music that has been brought out of the Psalms. My name is Steve Reese. I play the harp. And over the last several years, I've been bringing the sounds of David's Psalms into recordings. You can find a lot of my music on my website, www.calmingharp.com. I have CDs available and MP3s. And you can go to YouTube. If you go to YouTube and then type in Peregrinati, Peregrinnatti, you will find hours of beautiful harp music that you can just play in the background and be calmed with the music that David may have played for his sheep at one time or another. So as we share this half hour, join me and enjoy the sounds of David's harp. Well, good morning once again. It's been quite a whirlwind for Shirley and I. We are back in Florida. We got back Thursday evening. And our wonderful daughter-in-law picked us up at the airport, and it was pouring rain. It had been raining when we left England, and it was raining when we got to Florida. So we made many connections. We we made some of our old connections strong again, because it had been 10 years since we had been to Thailand, and Momo Cat said, "Don't let 10 years go again." So anyway, and Father willing, we won't. There's much work to be done there as well. India, Prabhu and all of the pastors and all of the villagers and all of the children were just amazing for us to be with them and to see what was actually going on there. I had been riding back and forth with Prabhu for several years, and he kept trying to get us to come, and I kept thinking, well, it was more valuable for me to send money than to spend money on tickets. But our Heavenly Father was gracious to us and provided a way for us to be there. So, and some of you were part of sending some blessings along with us to give to the orphans. And so I thank you once again for all of that. And I'm going to be calling on you in the days to come to see if there are any of you who would like to do more. There are many needs there. One, I think I shared with you already, that if we could just send $10 a month for a pastor and his family, that can keep them in at least rice for a month. $10 for us is next to nothing, hardly more than a cappuccino, but there it's a month of food. So anyway, if any of you would like to help with that, please connect with me, and we're beginning to put together a program to make that happen. We also committed to building a church there. A church building. There is a church there already, and we shouldn't confuse the two, the ecclesia of the people with a building. But they do need a building, because when it rains there, the mud is just crazy, and it did rain while we were there some, and even that was brought the mud out in force. So we really understood, and we had already, unbeknownst to me, a gift had already come in to begin that project. And so I'm going to be putting the full cost of that before you in the next few weeks. And if any of you would like to participate in that, that would also be a of great blessing. What the work that Prabhu and the elders and pastors in that area are doing is phenomenal, and they're doing it against a great headwind. The government has decided that that the Hindu religion is to be the state religion, and anything that competes with that has got to be done away with. And so they're already operating against resistance, and so we want to be sure and come alongside them and help them. And the villagers, even the village elder where we were at, came to us and asked and invited us to his home for a meal and asked us to pray for his family. He's Hindu, but he understands the blessings that have come to Prabhu, and even the water system that Prabhu put together for the whole village to keep typhus from being raising its ugly head there, because their water supply is very questionable and has caused typhus in many people. And so the elder of the village understood that Prabhu has a heart for the people, and he sees the blessings coming upon Prabhu and the pastors and the villagers that do attend with Prabhu, and he knows that there's something going on that is very amazing. And I was able to share also with the pastors the understanding of going back to the original Bible, and understanding scripture through a lens of I likened it to a pure water coming. You have to go high up the mountain to get the pure water, and then the further down the mountain you get, the more muddy the water gets. And I said, it's time for us as pastors leading the people to get back up the mountain and get the pure water. And that means we need to be reading scripture for what it's saying, and not let the interpretations of religions and other denominations and all those things that divide us keep us from realizing what our Heavenly Father has in store for us. And they were very receptive to that, to the point that they're asking me to do a weekly Zoom call with them to begin to provide some context for how to let scripture interpret scripture. And I don't want to give them my ideas. I want to just lead them to what does it say, and let them understand what the Father wants them, how he wants them to walk forward in that. So that's another thing that's opening up for us to be participant with there. So I would just ask for all of your prayers in that. So in coming back home to America, and sometimes I wonder if I can even use that word home, because I understand that the more I go out to other cultures, the more I understand that our home is really with our Heavenly Father, and we look forward to that messianic kingdom that Yeshua will reign, and that is our true home. And until then, we are all pilgrims and wanderers on the face of this earth. And so anyway, I thought I would look up the word home for the psalm this week, and I immediately came to Psalm 68, so I will read that. This is to the choir master, a psalm of David, a song. God shall arise, his enemies shall be scattered, and those who hate him shall flee before him. As smoke is driven away, so you shall drive them away. As wax melts before the fire, so the wicked shall perish before Elohim. But the righteous shall be glad, they shall exult before Elohim, they shall be jubilant with joy. Sing to Elohim, sing praises to his name, lift up a song to him who rides through the deserts. His name is Yahweh, exult before him. He is the father of the fatherless, and the protector of the widows is God in his holy habitation. And I just felt this psalm really reflected as this. We visited two orphanages, one in India and one in Thailand. And this reminds us that he is the fatherless, the father of the fatherless, and the protector of the widows. God settles the solitary in a home. He leads out the prisoners to prosperity, but the rebellious dwell in a parched land. O God, when you went out before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, Selah. Stop and think about that. The earth quaked. The heavens poured down rain before Elohim, the one of Sinai, before Elohim, the God of Israel. Rain in abundance, O God, you shed abroad. You restored your inheritance as it languished. Your flock found a dwelling in it. In your goodness, O Elohim, you provided for the needy. And, you know, just these pictures of the needy that we have just been among these last month really come to mind as I read these words. Yahweh gives the word. The women who announce the news are a great host. The kings of the armies, they flee. They flee. The women at home divide the spoil. Though you men lie among the sheepfolds, the wings of a dove covered with silver, its pinions with shimmering gold. When the Almighty scatters kings there, let snow fall on Zalmon. O mountain of Elohim, mountain of Bashan, O many-peaked mountain, mountain of Bashan. That would, I believe, is referring to Mount Hermon, which does get snow on it every winter. Why do you look with hatred, O many-peaked mountain, at the mount of Elohim, desired for his abode, yes, where Yahweh will dwell forever? The chariots of God are twice 10,000, thousands upon thousands. Yahweh is among them. Sinai is now in the sanctuary. And Sinai is reference to the Torah, the instructions of our God. You ascend on high, leading a host of captives in your train, and receiving gifts among men, even among the rebellious, that Yahweh Elohim may dwell there. Blessed be Yahweh, who daily bears us up, the God of our salvation. Selah. Stop and think about that. Our God is a God of salvation, and to God, Yahweh, belong the deliverances from death. But God will strike the heads of his enemies, the hairy crown of him who walks in his guilty ways. Yahweh said, I will bring them back from Bashan. I will bring them back from the depths of the sea, that you may strike your feet in their blood, that the tongues of your dogs may have their portion from the foe. Kind of a nasty picture, but God is basically saying he's going to render justice for all of the injustices done towards his people. Your procession is seen, O God, the procession of my God, my King, into the sanctuary. The singers in front, the musicians last, between them virgins playing tambourines. Bless God in the great congregation, Yahweh, O you who are of Israel's fountain. There is Benjamin, the least of them, in the lead, the princes of Yehuda in their throng, the princes of Zebulun, the princes of Naphtali. Summon your power, O God, the power, O God, by which you have worked for us. Because of your temple at Yerushalayim, kings shall bear gifts to you. Rebuke the beasts that dwell among the reeds, the herd of bulls with the calves of the people. Trample underfoot those who lust after tribute. Scatter the people who delight in war. Isn't that a prayer we all should have, that we know have war no longer in a world where we are filled with war right now? We are asking him to scatter the people who delight in war. Nobles shall come from Egypt. Cush shall hasten to stretch out her hands to God. O kingdoms of the earth, sing to God, sing praises to Yahweh. Selah. Stop and think about that. To him who rides in the heavens, the ancient heavens, behold, he sends out his voice, his mighty voice. Ascribe power to Yahweh, whose majesty is over Israel and whose power is in the skies. Awesome is God from his sanctuary, the God of Israel. He is the one who gives power and strength to his people. Bless be God. And I would remind each one of you this isn't just talking about the Israel within the boundaries of what we know as Israel today. This is talking about the whole of Israel. And Paul in Romans 9 through 11 talks about the grafting in. And we are grafted in if we choose to follow the teachings and instructions of our God. And even if someone who is a blood Israel determines not to follow God's way, he is, as Paul says, cut off from the olive tree. And so the new olive tree, the olive tree that Paul is talking about, are those who delight in their God, those who delight to follow his instruction, those who delight to follow his ways. And so that is irrespective of what bloodline you come from. It is determined by who you follow. Remember Yeshua, when he was standing one day and the crowd said, "Your mother is outside and she wants to talk to you." And he turned to the crowd and he said, "Who is my mother? Who are my brothers?" And then he went on to say, "Those who do the will of my father, those are my brothers and my mother. Those are my family." And so, whoever of you are listening, no matter what part of the world you're listening from, this invitation is to each one of you to follow your God, to follow your Elohim, to follow his ways. And I would just challenge you, as I challenge those pastors in India, come up to the top of the mountain. Drink from the clear water that's just coming out of the spring, that's not been muddied by other theologies, other seminaries, other religions, other denominational structures. Come back to the way that our Heavenly Father has chosen for us to guide us. I remember I was in Israel one time. And I was talking with an Orthodox Jew who runs a shop there, and I said, "You know, I sometimes feel like I'm not sure what I am, because I love Yeshua and I love his Torah, his teachings that he gave from Mount Sinai, that he were written down. And so I don't find myself falling in any. I'm not a Jew as here, because the Jews don't believe in Yeshua at this point anyway." And he said, "I have a good name for you." He said, "You're a first century believer, because they believed in Yeshua, but they also walked in the Torah and took the whole Bible as their guide, the Bible that was current at that time, because they didn't even have a New Testament at that time." And I said, "You know what? I like that term, a first century believer." And that's kind of where I find myself today. I don't like to call myself anything of any denominational structure or any label that wants to get put on. My life is devoted to what did Yeshua write to us in his Torah and the rest of his scripture, because I do believe that all scripture is inspired, just like 1 Timothy 3:16 says, "I'll give my inspiration." And so I believe it's all for all of it is for us to read, not just a part of it. And therefore, that is my stand. That's if you want to ask what I believe, that's what I believe. So I've got a little bit of music I want to play for you. I've kind of gone on here a little bit, but I just want you to understand that we are in times right now, as we see these wars raging around us. I believe we're in times where we really need to get straight about what we believe. The world is offering alternatives to make things shiny, to dangle in front of us, to attract us away from our Heavenly Father and from Yeshua. But at the end of the day, each one of us has to determine where we stand. You know, there's a narrow road that leads unto life, and few there be that find it, Yeshua said. And then there's a broad way that leads to death. And many there be that go that way, said Yeshua. And my invitation to you, and my challenge to myself, is to concentrate on the narrow way. You know, if you want to find out the way we need to go. You need to look at where the crowd's going and then turn 180 degrees and go the opposite direction, because the crowd is never right. The crowd will always go the wrong way. And so that's my challenge to you and myself. I'm going to play a little music here, and then I might have enough time to give a final thought. So stay tuned. this music is a song that's titled "Who Is Like You, O God Among the Gods." And it's a rhetorical question because there is no God like God because he's the only one. Every other God, remember, God is anything that gets in the way between us and our Heavenly Father, our Creator. Anything that takes our devotion away from him. And there are many things in life that do that. I saw idols in Thailand. I saw idols in India. And those gods are very obvious. But many of us in more developed countries have gods of sports, gods of going and buying, shopping, gods of all kinds of things. And so today, let us make a new resolution in our own lives to serve only our Creator, our Heavenly Father, who loves us and gave his life for us. No other God has ever done that. Blessings. So I hope you've enjoyed our time together. Stay tuned, as I say. Little pun. I have many more songs to share with you. I have more to share about how this all comes together. And I pray that you will share and help people, especially those you see stressed, especially in these times that we're going through. Bring people to this calming and this peace and this rest that this beautiful music of the Psalms of David brings to each of our lives. Thank you for listening. Hope to see you next week. Many, many blessings to you all today.